Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for yet another trip report to start your week. I know it's tax day here in the United States, but this is one of the best deals out there. For over 11 years, you're getting the Be Our Guest podcast for free. We don't charge you anything. We appreciate your support so much. Before we get to Mike, who's going to share his recent Disney adventure, I would like to remind you of our great sponsors who take care of the bills for us here on the show. And the first is our Amazon affiliate link. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Anytime you do your online shopping, it's very easy to support the show. Just click through the link, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Shop however you like. You'll get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and it really does help pay the bills here on the show. Again, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for with pictures, and so much more. For the price of a couple of ice cream sandwiches over at Sleepy Hollow, you're getting 365 days of the best information. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1472 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. And, you know, as I said at the top of the show, if you haven't paid those taxes, you better get going. You got till midnight here in the States. It's always, you know what, we always file ours early because I like to call it the old Disney Vacation Fund is what I use my refund for every year. If we didn't get a refund, man, I don't know what I would do because I wouldn't get to go to Disney. But, you know, it seems like it's always a party on the 15th of April. Everybody's down there, you know, giving out donuts at the post office when you're dropping off your forms. Am I missing out? I don't know. So who knows? I'm glad we're done. And I've already spent my refund on the cruise. So what am I going to do? It didn't cover the whole cruise. Trust me. So anyway, we're going to have fun talking Disney as we do on a Monday trip report time. And we're headed not too far from the Be Our Guest podcast studios to beautiful Maplewood, Missouri, which is, if you don't know, a suburb of St. Louis here. We got Mike. It's Mike and Mike in the morning. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, thanks for having me. It is it's an honor to be here. I think I requested being on this show like in October of 2016. So you're too popular.
I'm saying we're kind of like Flight of Passage. You know, you will if you have perseverance and determination, you will get on the show. But it may be painful and we don't have a restroom.
And Star Wars Land will probably be worse.
That's what I'm saying. I heard the queue is back to about Valdosta, Georgia at this time.
There was like, I was listening to someone talking about how if they were to open the Fast Pass line on opening day, the line for standby could exceed like 30 hours.
Yeah, that was Len, I think. And he was crunching those numbers in his little head there. And yeah, and the thing is, he has a formula and an algorithm as to why that is true. You know, I just say, everybody and their brother is probably going to get in line. It's going to be a long line. But, you know, I love that Len quantifies everything for us.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He is.
I aspire to be like Len Testa.
Well, I do too. I think we all do deep down because he's a cool dude that's really smart. But, you know, I don't know if my mind could handle that much computation all the time. I think I'd have smoke coming out of my ears.
Yep.
All righty. Well, let's talk about your recent trip. Pretty recent. You went this past wintertime. And as we do on Mondays, we like to have little trip reports of virtual vacations down to Walt Disney World. So tell us what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, so my parents have a condo about an hour and a half from Orlando, and we went there over Christmas or right after Christmas. And of course, I had to make an excuse to go to Disney. So I had yet to see Pandora, and I hadn't been to Animal Kingdom for many, many years. And so my wife and I took a day, left our little kiddo behind with grandma and grandpa, and decided to go check out Animal Kingdom, Animal Kingdom Plus.
Awesome. So we're going to talk about that, but let me, actually, before we dive into this, because I love hearing folks' first impressions with a new land, a new experience, but give us your background on, I've been doing this lately, like why you go to Disney. What is it about the Disney destinations or just the Disney company in general that has you going to the Disney park so much and actually doing your own Disney podcast now?
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I've been watching Disney movies since I was a kid, probably like most kids raised in the 90s did. Went to the parks a few times as a kid. We lived on the East Coast for a little while, so it was a little bit closer. And really more as an adult, I started to get into it. My brother and I went down to the world, I think it was 2011. It was right after I graduated college. And my brother was in high school, and he like begged my parents to take him, or maybe middle school. And they're like, oh, have your brother take you. So they like paid for a trip for us to go for like 4 or 5 days, and being kind of engulfed in it, and also just getting to do whatever I wanted and not being, you know, paraded around by my parents, like just made me fall in love with it even more. And when I got home, I remember going online and reading, starting to read about the history and what used to be there and what's coming. And just the combination of, I just love theme parks, but also the history and the creativity and how much thought goes into every little intricate bit of those theme parks just is, I just love, and I love reading about it and studying it and going to the parks and seeing it in person. So it's sort of just all of that combined.
You know, that's very much my story. You know, I went down for the first time and I got back and I couldn't find enough information about Walt Disney. Well, you know, I wasn't a big movie person, which I know you are, and we'll talk about your show, but you know, I'm just somebody that likes the theme parks, you know, how it's such an escape and it's such a, like we call it the bubble, you know, it's like nothing else in the world. But like when I got back from that first trip, man, I was looking everywhere. I remember going to the St. Louis County Library, getting every book I could, you know, all the travel books, and they weren't very up to date back then. They didn't publish them every year and so forth. And then I kind of stumbled upon, there was some kind of a book by Rita Arrow, and they had some kind of a website associated with it where folks helped others. They were called like angels. They helped make morning breakfast reservations for Cinderella's Royal Table. Some big controversy at some point, but like it got me online looking at Disney stuff for the first time. And then of course, you know, that's where you go down the rabbit hole. So when you look back, I like hearing people's stories of like, when you go back and look at those resources, maybe they're there, maybe they're gone, you know, like first podcasts, first websites, like what were your go-to sources when you were just like a sponge absorbing all this stuff?
I mean, yeah, that was, what was I saying? That was about 2011. I think Wikipedia was a thing then. So probably that to start. And then I like seeking out cool coffee table books. And, you know, there's awesome books of like all the old posters from the old attractions, and there's plenty you can find online for cheap about Epcot and about Magic Kingdom. And then just going on YouTube and watching videos as well. There's so much of that, especially now, but even then there was plenty of ride videos and history videos, and then stumbling across podcasts like yours. This is probably one of the first ones I came across, and it's just like, there's so many more people that love what I love and they're talking about it.
And it's so crazy when you first realize that, you know, because you kind of feel like, man, I mean, you know, I love this stuff and I don't care that I love this stuff, but there can't be, you know, enough to sustain. Like, I bet you there's 200 Disney podcasts now, and how many YouTube channels and vlogs and blogs. I mean, it's amazing. And I get it. I mean, Walt Disney World is the number one tourist destination in the United States, but still, like when I go into my regular life, you know, my everyday life, I don't come across people. Well, I think that maybe what it is, maybe we're getting to a big discovery here today, but maybe it is that I don't think all these people in my real life are into Disney, but maybe if I asked them, maybe 10% are. I don't know.
Yeah, probably. And when you do find those people, we kind of have our own language.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they all know the abbreviations and all the resorts and all the rides, and it's a lot of fun to stumble across those people for sure.
So, do you have any suggestions as far as, you said you got some coffee table books? I love you know, looking for stuff like that, and anything that's real good. You know, our listeners would like.
Yeah, I mean, the one that I got most recently, like I mentioned, was, I forget exactly what it's called, but you can find it on Amazon through your link, right?
Yeah, there you go, Amazon.com or beergastpodcast.com/Amazon. Use it today.
Yeah, there you go. It's about all the posters from the parks, all of the original. I feel like every ride has a poster, and you see some of them as you enter the Magic Kingdom, kind of in those tunnels and underneath the train track, and they're throughout. But this is just like the evolution and the history of the design in Disney parks, specifically ride posters and attraction posters and park posters. It's really interesting.
You know what? I've actually taken pictures of every one of those posters in the, you know, under the train station at the Magic Kingdom. And what I do is, you know, I use like Snapseed or something to kind of clean them up and make them kind of pop. But I use them for like wallpaper on my phone. I mean, I love those things.
And I have a few of them. I have like the People Mover one hanging in my office here. The old Wedway People Mover poster. I have one for the Disneyland monorail hanging out in my dining room. I snuck that one in there.
See, I'm going to have to get my wife to go for that one because we're in the process of possibly moving here sometime. And I don't know if I'm going to get much Disney art around the, except for my, I get my little part of the house where she never complains.
But sure. Well, the monorail one is kind of cool and abstract. So on first glance, it doesn't look too Disney.
She likes Disney though. She's a good, she's a keeper. So anyway, well, let's talk about when you guys went down to Animal Kingdom. Now we got your kind of your backstory. So obviously you're connected. You've heard all the stories, you've seen the videos and stuff, but I think especially Pandora more than any other land will till Galaxy's Edge opens that, you know, you can see all you want of the coverage of it. But when you walk in and see the waterfall, you know, see the floating mountain, stuff like that, you really do have to experience it firsthand.
For sure. And it's going to be really hard with Star Wars Land to not just watch a bunch of videos ahead of time. I it's hard to keep theme park spoilers away from myself. So yes, I had watched most of the videos of Pandora, but still, it was really, really neat to see it in person. You know, we were there on December 28th, which is possibly one of the busiest days in Disney World. And so the goal was to obviously get the Pandora stuff done, but hopefully figure out a way to not be completely overwhelmed by the crowd levels. And so we did show up nice and early. The park opened at 8 that day, I believe, and we were at the front gate by 7. And they opened it early, which they typically do on days like that. And we went straight to Navi River Journey, which was great because everyone else went straight to Flight of Passage. And so we actually had a good few minutes of more or less an empty Pandora to take some cool pictures and walk around a little bit because we saw no one was going to the boat ride. And so that was really cool. That was a great way to be able to see it somewhat vacant as the hordes flocked to Flight of Passage. But yeah, it's really neat. I hit on some of those drums and got to see the waterfalls and got some really cool pictures. It is definitely a sight to see that YouTube can't quite show you.
You know, it's very beautiful, and I love it, and I think Disney hit it out of the park with this, and it has me more excited for Galaxy's Edge because of the detail and just the, I mean, it's otherworldly. I mean, it does look like something you'll never see in the natural world, even though it is very natural-looking-ish. It's kind of hard to describe. So I think Galaxy's Edge is going to be amazing, but to me, it seems really small. I think about it, I thought it would be larger. And I know they're saying lately, especially as we've been seeing the last couple of weeks, you know, Disney's really talking about the size of Galaxy's Edge at Disney's Hollywood Studios. So did you think it was kind of small too? Or was it, because I like to get people's perspective of what you thought it was going to be and then what it was in reality.
Yeah. I don't know. It felt all right size-wise. I thought there was going to be more restaurants. Like, I thought there was a sit-down restaurant, but there wasn't. There was just Satouli, and then there's sort of a little snack bar kind of restaurant. I forget what that one's called.
I can't remember. I know it's Shot Rock, but it has the drinks with the boba balls.
Yeah, I guess I expected a few more places to see and things to do. We were just there first thing, and then we circled the park after that and then came back to ride Flight of Passage. So I didn't get to see much of like the entertainment. I know they have like a robot walking around sometimes and some guys playing drums and that. I don't know, size wise. I guess I kind of knew what to expect. And I know, Star Wars Land is not too much bigger, like acreage wise. I forget the numbers, but maybe it'll be laid out differently so it feels a little bit bigger.
Yeah, they keep showing that in social media. I don't think it's Disney officially sending it, but, you know, I've seen a lot of bloggers showing, okay, here's Pandora, here's Toy Story Land, here's, and I think there's, I can't remember what the third land was, but they're superimposed on top of Galaxy's Edge and they all could fit within there. But of course, you know, I mean, the thing is, you know, we all know Rise of the Resistance is going to have this huge show building. You know, that's not space you can wander through. I mean, you're going to go on the attraction, but I mean, I'm sure Flight of Passage is the same way. It's just a gigantic building, which, you know, you don't actually get access to. You're not strolling through. You're just in the attraction. So, well, you guys were there when it was really busy, of course, between Christmas and New Year's, and you had the strategy to get there early, hit Pandora. So how'd the rest of the day unfold? Did your strategy work out all right?
It did. I got lucky with my fast passes. You know, I got on right when necessary and was able to get a Flight of Passage for the morning for like 10:30. And before that, I was able to get an Everest and a Safari for the times that we wanted. So that was really nice and helpful that I didn't have to go to Flight of Passage first thing. So yeah, when we were off Navi River Journey, we're like, all right, going over to Dinosaur, because no one else was.
Yep.
And hopped right on that very quickly. We walked past the Primeval Whirl, so just jumped on that with no wait. We had a fast pass to Everest, but didn't really need it, but we still went through the fast pass line about 8:30. While waiting for our safari fast pass, we saw the Bug's Life movie, went on safari after a brief delay because there was like an animal on the track or on the path, so they had to shut it down for a few minutes. I'm sure that happens all the time. And then by the time we were off that, it was time to go back to Pandora and ride Flight of Passage. And by then, by 10:30 a.m., the wait was 300 minutes long.
Oh, man.
Which is just, I can't imagine getting in that line knowing that. But people were doing it. It was crazy.
Well, let me ask you, though. Say you didn't have, you know, this is your only day down there, and you couldn't get a fast pass. Would you wait, you know, a couple hundred minutes to have this experience since, you know, it was your only opportunity that trip?
If I didn't have a fast pass, I would have rope dropped that and worried about the boat ride. There's no way.
Yeah. I feel the same way. But then, you know, we waited one time in a super long line for Soarin' back when it was new. You know, it's like, yeah. I look back and I'm like, did we really do that? But I guess maybe, I don't know, I'm getting older and I won't do it anymore. I think we get spoiled as we go down more and more.
Yeah. Well, and if I was there for a bunch of days or was a local and that was the only reason I was going, then maybe. But that's such a waste of time and money for one ride.
That's true, because when you think about it, you're paying so much per hour, and if you're gonna stand there for 4 or 5 hours, I mean, what are you getting? You know?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's my mindset about it for sure.
So how'd the rest of the day unfold?
So the plan was, to kind of knock off Animal Kingdom as quickly as we could. Like I said, I'd been there a few years prior, before Pandora, so I'd done a lot of that stuff. So we just wanted to get all the rides done, which we did, you know, by like 10:30. We got a quick lunch at Setuli, and the goal was to try to get a fast pass for something else at a different park. You know, I had yet to do Toy Story Land. I had yet to go on Frozen Ever After, because last time I was at Epcot, that was under construction. Now those are tough gets.
Yep.
Partway through the day, for sure. But I sat there at lunch at Setuli and just refreshed and refreshed and refreshed that app. You know, and there were just two of us. That's helpful. But with 10, 15 minutes of refreshing, Slinky Dog Dash popped right
Holy
up and I grabbed
cow.
It.
No kidding. You're just like, you almost like, you get so excited to click the wrong button or something.
Yeah. I mean, it worked. So at like 11 a.m., I had a fast pass for 2 p.m. for Slinky Dog Dash. So we were off to Hollywood Studios, which was awesome.
So what'd you think of Toy Story Land initially?
Toy Story is like my favorite thing ever.
Me too. It's my favorite. It's my favorite of the Disney movies. And Buzz is my favorite character.
Yes, Buzz Lightyear is my favorite character of all time. I have a collection of Buzz Lightyear figures, like 50 of them. Seriously, I have a box of them. People just started giving them to me, so I have a larger collection than I have room for. But so I really wanted to see that. I've actually been to Disneyland Paris, which was a really cool thing to be able to see and to go to. And they have a Toy Story Land there. The one in Florida is much bigger and better. I think in Paris, we just walked through it. They have a RC race car ride that is sort of one of those rides that just kind of rocks back and forth and you're in a car. I think they had like a parachute thing with army men, but nothing like Slinky Dog Dash, which was awesome. And the land itself was really, really cool to see.
You know, I've kind of fallen in love with Toy Story Land because, like you said, you know, Toy Stories, it just hits so many things of my childhood and the toys that I had. And I've always loved Buzz and Woody. It's just it's such a great movie. And the thing is, especially now with the story continuing on this June, you know, I think that this is going to be relevant. And it's going to be around and it hits the older folks like me now. It hits the kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, Slinky Dog Dash, I was down there when it opened for the media event. And I kind of, you know, I'd seen it being built and stuff, and we got to go on it a couple days before it opened to the public. And I was, you know, like, it's like a Big Thunder light or it's a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train light. But you know what? That thing has a little bit more thrill than I think a lot of people expect.
And some surprises. I love the part where it stops and kind of backs up briefly. And it's nice it doesn't have a lift hill. I think both times you accelerate are launches out of the station and out of that stop in the middle. So that helps, too, with the pace and the feel of it.
Yeah, I agree. So did you guys do anything else besides Toy Story when you head over to the studios?
It was so crowded there.
It gets a little crowded in that park, and it's only going to get worse.
I will tell you what, Yeah, I got really lucky with that refresh with the fast pass. So I was like, oh, I bet I can get another one. I bet I can get one for tower. And something happened with the app about 2 o'clock that day where every fast pass, it said they were gone, which I was like, there's no way. There's no way every fast pass for like the Pixar movie in Epcot is gone.
So, that's true. Yeah, that's a lie.
So something happened with the app, but I didn't know that. And so we were kind of bummed. So we went to the one man's dream and just kind of strolled through that little museum. But didn't really feel like watching the movie. Oh, we did go to the Launch Bay.
That's a good thing to do.
Star Wars section. Yeah. And I will go on a brief tangent here because I have the Disney Visa. Do you have the Disney Visa card?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Which, if you need any reason to get it, it's to go to the special Visa meet and greets.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I've been doing that for probably a decade, especially the ones over at Epcot.
Yeah, and so at Launch Bay, it was Kylo Ren, and we waited maybe 30 seconds to go meet Kylo Ren, which was cool. And all you do is just flash them your Visa card, and they take a little note of what design you have, and you're good to go, which is really neat. So yeah, we, after One Man's Dream, we're like, all right, well, I guess we'll just go over to Epcot, because at least there's plenty to do there without a fast pass, you know? And without waiting in line. So we strolled over to the bus. And as we were getting on the bus, I was still hopeful something would happen with the app and that some fast passes would appear. And lo and behold, I sat there and refreshed on the bus and we got fast passes for Frozen Ever After.
Are you kidding? You should have bought a lottery ticket this day, man. You should have taken this little detour out to the Speedway and got a ticket.
And I was doing nothing other than just kind of clicking times back and forth and just hoping something would appear. And we got that I think it was about 3 o'clock and we got it for 4:30. So it was
prime time
awesome.
Too. And I mean, over the Christmas holiday.
I know. I couldn't really believe it. But so yeah, we went to Epcot and we did the Visa meet and greet there, which was Mickey Mouse, which was awesome. They don't tell you who the character is going to be until you walk in. And it was like, oh, I was Mickey. And so that was a nice little surprise.
Yeah. Back in the day, it always used to be Pluto. I remember, like, yeah. We'd always, because they wouldn't tell you. I mean, this was like when Paige was still little and she's graduating college this semester. But yeah, it was like, you know, they said it could be any of the Fab Five. And yeah. We'd always say, oh, please be Mickey, please. And it was always, I guess maybe it's just a roll of the dice when you're there. But man, we got Pluto like 3 summers in a row. I was like, come on now.
Yeah, I did it. I did it in Disneyland a couple years ago, and I think it was Daisy. I'm like, all right, whatever. It wasn't a wait. I'll take a picture with Daisy Duck.
Oh yeah, you can't complain. We're getting in.
But the last time I was at Epcot, the Visa meet and greet was in the Interventions area, and this time, because Interventions is all kind of starting to shut down, at least it was right next to the Imagination Pavilion. I forget what building it was in, but the space they had it in was really cool, and they had these incredible kind of abstract Epcot-related designs on the walls, and I actually liked that better than the meet and greet. This is a really cool space.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about because I did a tour. I did that Undiscovered World Showcase tour last summer, and that's where you met. And I was like, oh man, this is like such like original Epcot back here. I love this stuff.
And there was like some cool monorail artwork. And I took a bunch of pictures of the walls.
I know. I was like, I love this place. And of course, that stuff's all getting knocked down here. So
yeah, oh well.
Sad.
Hopefully it'll be better.
Yes, and we gotta hope.
Yep. What else did we do? Epcot was also really busy. We were like, should we try to go on Soarin' or Test Track? And I'd been on those recently, so I didn't really care. But I will say my favorite thing at Epcot, and I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you guys have talked about this at some point, but is the movie in France, which people laugh at me when I say that.
No, that's actually, I love Impressions de France. And my buddy Scott, he says that's his favorite attraction. Mine back in the day used to be Captain EO, so you can't really say much.
Sure,
he used to love that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's, there's a few things in Epcot still that, you know, I wasn't even going to Epcot in the 80s. You know, like we didn't even go on vacations when I was a kid. So I didn't get for a long time. But what, you know, like living with the land feels very much like this is Epcot, you know, and so does Impressions of France and the China movie. I love that stuff.
Well, what's nice about the France movie is I think the other two, Canada and China, you have to stand because they're 360. And this one is, I would call it 200 degrees probably. and you're sitting in a seat so you can relax, you know, put your feet up, and the visuals and just like what they did with that when they shot that movie in the 80s is just, it's mind blowing. I think they literally, I mean, same with the 360 movies too, but I mean, they built this camera rig that had six or seven cameras on it you know, all rolling film, all in sync with each other. And, you know, they pull back those curtains and you have those giant movie screens. And I mean, you could watch that movie 15 times and see something different every time, because every screen is such high quality and there's just something going on in, you know, everywhere you look. I love it.
And the music complements it perfectly too. I mean, it's just hand in hand, visual, auditory. And you're right. I mean, that's so smart to have something like that in the back of your head, because, and you said it exactly right, on the most crowded of days, yes, you can usually head to Epcot, escape the World Showcase, do Canada, China, France movies. There's a lot, you can shop, you can dine at certain places, you can at least snack, even if it's super crowded. Yep. That's the place to go when you're not lucky enough to have fast passes and you need stuff to do, go to Epcot.
Yeah, and that's exactly why we went there. We did go on the Three Caballeros ride, which is one of my favorite Disney movies, and that ride never has a wait. So,
bonus. Nice.
But yeah, like I said, the France movie, yeah, they have a top-notch sound system in there, and they're just blasting French classical music. It's the best. I would recommend it over Soarin'. I know that's blasphemy, but I love it so much.
Pretty good. I know, and I was scared to death they were going to take it out when they announced that Beauty and the Beast sing-along, but I'm glad they're, at least from what we're hearing, they're going to kind of alternate the two. I hope they...
Yeah, I hope we'll see how long it lasts. Yeah,
I know. It makes me nervous. Don't get me wrong. It makes me real nervous.
I was glad I got to see it one more time, because as soon as that theater starts filling up for Beauty and the Beast, they're going to be like, well, maybe true. We should just play Impressions de France like once a day.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they'll say, it's seasonal. Like, we'll show it once on November 28th, and there you go. Yeah. It's seasonal.
I mean, there's going to be so many... The crowds are going to flock there for the new Ratatouille ride, so... They're gonna need something to eat up the people for sure.
Now, you said you guys went to France. Have you experienced that ride?
I did. We did. We got to go on that. It's really cool. Are there any trackless rides in America yet? I don't know if there are.
I don't think so.
So that's one of those ones where your vehicle's not on any sort of track. They're all computer controlled, and so I think there's three mice that go out at a time, and there's six or eight people per mouse, and they just sort of dance around each other, and it's very unpredictable, but it's really cool because you can't see the track on the floor and see where you're going,
Man, I can't wait for that. I'm excited because World Showcase, as much as we've kind of gotten accustomed to, it's not about rides, it's about cultural experiences, dining, stuff like that, but I think it's not going to hurt to have just more to do back there. And that's going to be like a e-ticket ride right there in France.
Yeah, it is. And I was bummed when I think there was a plan to build a Spain pavilion along with the gigantic movie that got canned. And there was all sorts of plans to expand World Showcase. But it's tough because it's hard for them. I guess they swap out museum attractions and that sort of thing, but those gift shops are always sort of the same. And there's only so many times you can walk through the Japanese gift shop and not buy anything. It'd be nice. It'll be nice to have something new.
Man, Mallory loves that place. I don't know what it is. Like, she has to go in there and spend money every time we go to Epcot. I'm sure that's true of a lot of kids at the Japanese store. So let me ask you this, because you have a long history with the parks. You had Maelstrom, Frozen Ever After, first experience there. What were your feelings? Because again, Maelstrom was one of those, totally, it was an Epcot attraction.
Yeah. I had only been on that once, I think. And it was when I went in 2011, when I was just out of college. So I wasn't like totally attached to it, and it was kind of lame.
I liked it. I loved it. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's like living with the land. Yeah. Sure. You know what? It's kind of lame. I love that attraction, man.
Yeah,
I do
love living with the land.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was nothing, I don't know, I guess I didn't go on Maelstrom as a kid, so I wasn't totally attached to it. So I thought Frozen Ever After was really cool. I'm not a big Frozen fan. I was a little old when it came out. I can appreciate parts of it, but I think I'm sort of just like jaded by how popular it became.
my problem was it came out on my birthday. When the year it came out, and it was the day of my birthday, and of course I have two daughters, and my wife said, for your birthday, we're going to all go see Frozen, we're going to take the girls, and then... I had no idea what the movie was about, to be honest. I'm not a movie guy, but I was like, okay, it's a Pixar, or it's a Disney movie. We'll go see it. Yeah. It's fun. And, so we're sitting there and I'm like, 15 minutes in, I'm like, oh my God, it's a movie about two girls and they have to look out for each other. There's one older sister, one younger sister. I'm like, oh man, the parents die. They got to take care of it. I'm like, I was like a sobbing mess. So now I feel like I have a connection to it now. So we'll see. It's weird.
Yeah, but the ride itself, though, was really cool, and they used a lot. It was interesting to see how they kind of retrofitted that log flume, because you can sort of remember where certain things were from the Viking ride, but they used such cool new technology and had some really neat animatronics. And I that's one of the aspects of the parks that I really love is the technology and what they do with it and how creative they get with it. So that ride, because of that, I really enjoyed.
Yeah, it is something. I mean, especially technologically, and especially if you have that in your mind's eye, remembering where Maelstrom, where the track was and stuff, because of how they flip-flop things, you know, where, yeah, you know, you're boarding where it used to exit and you try, sure, to think, well, where am I in the old attraction? And I love that kind of stuff. You know, it's like, yeah, oh, well, it's kind of backwards. So yeah, it's kind of fun.
And I love seeing what used to be a test track and what used to be, you know, where Soarin' is and all the history of old Disney, for sure.
Well, let me ask you kind of along those lines. If you could bring back any attraction, what would you bring back?
Oh man. I mean, there's probably some that I never went on. I hear a lot of good things about Horizons.
Mm-hmm. Same. I never got to experience it. I mean, I was there that one time and it was open. I just, you know, nobody was going on it. So I didn't either.
Yeah. And I love Spaceship Earth. So I imagine that was similar. So to see sort of a different version of that, I think would be really cool. I also, you know, as a lot of Disney parks fans do, I love the People Mover in Magic Kingdom, and I would have loved to go on the one in Disneyland,
mm-hmm, yep,
which is now just a vacant track, just sitting there rotting away.
So, because we also talked about you went out to Disneyland solo. We're not going to get into that on this, sure, show, but, you know, when you see something like that, you know, because there's not a lot of things like that at Walt Disney World anymore. Because I remember, like, before they kind of did the Tangled toilets, you know, the restrooms over in Fantasyland, you know, you saw in Tomorrowland, you would see where you used to be able to get on the sky buckets and that was gone. You know, I hate to see things that are the remnants of old attractions still there, but the attraction's not available anymore. So when you see something like the People Mover at Disneyland, I mean, is it, for somebody like you who's, you know, really into the history of the parks and one who experienced what the parks had to offer, I mean, it is kind of heartbreaking to see that stuff there not being used.
It is, but it's still cool to just think about it and to see it and to know the history of it. And especially with the People Mover in Disneyland, that then it was rocket rods for a little while. And to just sort of imagine it up there, at least it's better than it being completely taken down.
I guess. At least you have a frame of reference. You know, because I always wanted to go one more time because I did get to ride 20,000 Leagues at World a long time ago. You know, and at least now, it's not like there's a lagoon where you can lament that it's not there anymore. Like, you just don't notice because Seven Dwarfs are sitting there now, so they filled it in.
Yeah, right.
So how'd you guys finish out the day? It sounds like you guys were in your third park having a good time, Frozen Ever After.
Yeah, so we had a reservation at Chefs de France, which I had never been to, the restaurant there, which was lovely. I one of my favorite things to do at Epcot is converse with the cast members there, because I think most of them in the World Showcase, if not all of them, are actually from those countries. Mm-hmm. Which is really neat. So our waiter was definitely from France, and he was a really nice guy, and I asked him some questions about that, and I made sure he had seen Impressions de France, and he had not.
Oh no. He's like, well, that's just
like,
my
dude,
backyard.
You've been at Epcot for like 6 months and you haven't watched the movie about your country.
Yeah, but that's like you and I going down and seeing the movie about how they built the arch, you know?
I suppose. But it's so cool. And so he's like, all right, well, I have the day off tomorrow. I'll come watch it somewhere.
I'm sure he did.
So we had a nice dinner there, and was able to snag one more fast pass on the app for Spaceship Earth. And so we strolled over there at about 9 o'clock, and we wanted to stay for the fireworks show for, what's it called? Reflections of Earth.
Yeah. Yes? Illuminations.
Illuminations. That's right. The song is called Reflections of Earth. But we were just really tired by then. And we had an hour and a half drive ahead of us to go back to my parents' condo. And so we bailed before then, unfortunately. So I'll just have to have Illuminations live in my memories.
Oh God, we got to set. I'm starting to come to grips with it going away, but man, that's still a tough pill to swallow for me.
Yeah, I know. I was real bummed, and I know I hear a lot of good things about the holiday tag.
Oh, it's awesome. I've not seen, but rips your heart out. Well, I mean, in a good way. Like it's the best of humanity, and like for that 5 minutes, you're like, the world can all get along, you know, like we can do this. And then, you know, the show's over and it's back to the road.
Yeah. We did get a little bit of the candlelight processional. We watched it from the sidewalk while we were waiting for our dinner reservation. So we got a little bit of that Christmas spirit. Awesome. I think Cal Ripken Jr. was there that day.
Oh my
writing,
gosh,
which was
perfect.
So random.
Yeah, but I love Cal Ripken Jr., man, the Iron Man. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm a huge baseball fan, so that was kind of fun.
That is so awesome. So, man, you guys really made the most out of a day, especially during the busiest time of the year. It's incredible you got that much done.
Yeah, I was obviously real happy just to do Pandora, but doing Slinky Dog Dash and Frozen Ever After, probably the two most popular rides in their respective parks, was definitely icing on the cake.
God, this show is it's a tale for folks to not give up with My Disney. As frustrating as that little app can be on your smart device, and you curse it, and you yell at it, and you delete it, but then you reinstall it because you have to have it. Stick with it. This is a lesson in stick-to-itness. You need to stick with it, and you never know what you'll get.
Well, and I'm still on the iPhone 6. I don't upgrade every 6 months like you do.
I went from a 7 to a 10 this time. I waited.
Yeah, I mean, it barely works on the iPhone 6. And so it was super, and my wife has a 6S, and hers, it worked a little bit better on her. So I was switching phones. I was dual wielding half the day, you know, just trying to get it to work. But yeah, I mean, I knew persistence would hopefully prevail. So it did.
So is the tip just, as we kind of close this out, especially going during the busiest time of the year and you have a limited amount of days to see things, you want to see as much as you can in as short of time as possible, just get there super early and kind of go the way? Because you know how things work. I mean, obviously, you were going against the crowds. You knew everybody was going to, and you had a fast pass, too, for Flight of Passage.
Yeah,
but
right.
You knew everybody's going there, so I'm going here, and just kind of continue that throughout the day.
Yeah, that's some obvious advice, but it's certainly the most important, especially if you don't have the right fast passes. But you know, I mean, we showed up an hour before rope drop at Animal Kingdom, and we were able to do the whole park in, you know, just a few hours.
Nice.
And we had the rest of the day open for whatever we wanted. So
it's a good idea. All right, so as we wrap up, though, I kind of mentioned earlier that you started a Disney podcast. Now, yours focuses on something that I need to get more involved in. I've talked about this for the 11 years we've been having the show. I don't watch the movies very often. I've seen a few of them. You know, I've seen Toy Stories. I've seen all those. I've seen Wreck-It Ralph, not the new one, but I've seen, you know, movies here and there. So I feel bad because I haven't seen Moana, and I love the Polynesian culture.
Moana's the best, Mike.
And I haven't seen the, you know what? I haven't seen a lot of the classic ones either. I remember watching them with Paige, like Little Mermaid and like the girl ones I've seen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the girl focused ones, but like I haven't seen Jungle Book or Peter Pan or anything like that. So
tell
us about your show. I know I feel bad now.
Well, I didn't dare rival the BR Guest podcast. So I didn't dare rival Mike Rallman or Lou Mangiello or Len Tester or Jim Hill. So I decided to make a podcast about the movies and not the parks, which there are certainly fewer movie-related podcasts than there are parks podcasts. And so what we're doing is our show is called Disney One by One, and my brother and I are doing the show, and the plan is to go through every Disney Animation Studios film in order, which starts with Snow White, and currently the last one is Ralph Breaks the Internet, but by the time we get to that, it'll be Frozen 2. And we are watching all of them in order. There's 57 of them, or 58, including Frozen 2, and making an episode about each one. Talking about the history, talking about what we thought of the movie, talking about our history with the movie, because I've watched a lot of these growing up. And every episode, we're bringing on a special guest to join us and do that. I am a video editor by trade, so I'm converting that to audio and adding a lot of clips from the movies and music. And so I hope it's a more produced podcast than what some people do. And so I hope people will check that out and watch the movies along with us. So again, it's called Disney One by One. And you can also just search Disney 1X1, a little easier to type that out. If this comes out on the 15th, you said?
Yeah, 15th.
So we just released Sleeping Beauty, and 101 Dalmatians will come out this Wednesday. So we release every Wednesday.
I'll have to check that out because I got to get into the movies. And I keep saying, you know, it'd be a perfect thing to do. And I have nothing against the movies. I'm just, my problem is I watch like too much sports. Like sports and reality TV. Like the summer is all Big Brother, and it's the live feeds. And then it's sports. It's football and baseball. So yeah, I just got to carve some time out. But I know that, you know, I could learn a lot. Like my experience at the parks, and tell me if I'm right on this. I feel like, you know, I really enjoy every Walt Disney World vacation I get. When I go on Cruise Line, I enjoy every second of it. I just soak it all in.
Yeah.
But my experience would be deeper if I had seen all these classic movies. Oh. Am I not right?
Oh, for sure. And that's one of the things, you know, like I said, I'm not trying to rival Mike Rallman, but we are talking about these movies' presence in the parks when applicable, you know, and Some of them don't, but most of them do in some way, even if in some little way. And it's really fun to watch these movies and think, where have I seen this in the park? Oh, yeah, Alice in Wonderland. That's the teacup ride, you know, and there's some more obvious ones. Peter Pan obviously spawned the Peter Pan ride. But there's some that aren't so obvious, and it's cool to see how the movies have influenced the parks, and sometimes the parks influence the movies.
You know, and it's a struggle too, because I remember like when we were invited down for the media event when they opened a new Fantasyland. Okay, so I was really excited about this. It was the first time I ever got to go to a media event with the podcast. You know, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, we're going to get to ride it before the public, you know, and all this. And so, of course, like I wanted to watch Snow White, you know, and because, you know, I had not seen the movie, but I was trying to prepare myself for the event. But you know what the struggle was? I couldn't find a copy because it was in the vault and I didn't have a copy, and it was really difficult. So how do you feel about, you know, the new Disney streaming service that's coming very soon, where it seems like, and I'm not an expert on this, but from what I'm hearing, that the catalog will be a lot easier to be able to see things like this.
Yeah, I think they've announced that maybe not immediately, but at some point they will put every movie on there, which is great. I was able to find, I mean, right now we don't have that streaming service, and from a combination of Blu-rays and DVDs that are available, movies that are available digitally, and also just going to my library and to Family Video, which there's still a couple of those around.
There's one right across the street from my house. Yeah.
Yeah. You can find most of these. The library was a key find. A lot of the obscure ones are available because they just have copies of them from when they were released at some point. But yeah, I'm excited for the whole catalog to be available. It'll certainly benefit the podcast I'm working on, because people will be able to watch along more easily.
Just to say, it's like a perfect time for your show.
Yeah.
That's great. It's nice how that happens. You know, and I appreciate Disney opening new lands and hotels for us. You know, thanks Disney.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Mike, I appreciate you carving some time out and starting the week with us, and thanks for sharing this awesome trip you took back in December, and best wishes with the podcast. I'll be tuning in.
Yeah, thanks. It was fun to finally have a nice long Disney conversation with you. And again, our show is called Disney One by One, or you can search Disney 1x1 on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you find your podcast.
All righty. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. Stay out of lines. See the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. They can save you up to 4 hours in line each day of your Disney vacation. You know what? When Galaxy's Edge comes online, who knows how valuable this will be. So check them out. I'm telling you, it could be a lifesaver. Check them out today. Tell them we said hello over at touringplans.com. And again, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you do that shopping online. You may not think your little purchase adds up, but when put everybody together, it really does help pay the bills here for the show. I appreciate it very much. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook page at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here until we get back together again on Wednesday, where we'll be answering your listener questions. For Mike, this is Mike. It's Mike and Mike. And we hope that you have a great start to your week. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.